and I like it. But let me tell you something. Without the word of God, you ain't gonna have no confirmation of the preaching by signs following. We need to know that when we preach and when we teach, that we can lay hand on the sick and that when we lay hand on the sick, they will recover. That when we speak to a dead person, that the breath of life will come back in them. That's what we need to know. And that's how we need to preach and teach the word. Just like Paul and the disciples and Jesus did. You know? This is the outcome that God is expecting. You know, when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon us, chains are broken. My God, the chains are broken off of us. Sickness and disease are healed right then. They're cured. The lame can get up and start walking. You know, the amputees of legs and toes and fingers will grow back immediately. You know, the dead will rise. When we speak the word and we speak life, the dead will get up and start walking in the name of Jesus. Saints of God, this is what I'm talking about in this lesson. You know, and all those missing parts will be restored. And I want to tell you, the kidneys, the hearts, the lungs, the pancreas, the liver, the spleen, the colon, all of those parts that are eroding, the kidneys in our bodies, will come back to life when we're preaching and teaching under the ability that God has given us through the power of the Holy Ghost, letting God do what he's supposed to do. We do what we're supposed to do by preaching the word only. We have to preach the word only. And then God, he will confirm the preaching and teaching with signs following. Amen. So we're going to get further along in this lesson. And it's a lot to cover, but we'll get to a lot more of this lesson within the next week or so. So I'm asking you in the name of Jesus, pay close attention to the word of God. Preachers and teachers, make sure you're doing the things that God has called us to do, because there has to be a change in the church. God said he's coming back after church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. And we know there's just so many spots, wrinkles, and blemishes in the church. We can see it in the people, and in some of the preachers you can see it. So we're not coming to criticize, we're not coming to judge, we're not coming to put down. We're just coming to say that it's time for a change in the church. If we're going to make it in, if we're really sincere about making it in, we're going to have to make some changes in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
All right, family, you have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare Broadcast with Evangelist Wonder Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wonder Bell, or you can write us at Evangelist Wonder Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, mastering your mountains. Mastering your mountains. Say that with me. Mastering your mountains. Now make it personal. Mastering my mountains. Amen. Now let me say that there is a major difference in the walk in the life of believers of those who master their mountains and whose mountains master them. Because wherever there is a mountain in your life or in your situation, you are going to have to master it, or it certainly will master you. And this is important. Now, we know the lesson of the fig tree and all of that representation, et cetera, et cetera. So that's not where our focus is today. We preached not long ago a message dealing with that fig tree that was dried up from the roots because Jesus cursed it because of the deception connected with the green leaves and what was expected to be there and wasn't. But our focus today is where Jesus tells the disciples to have faith in God. Now, here is where the focal point of everything that God is going to do to us, through us, with us, and for us must be firmly planted so that we will know and understand that this miracle, that this blessing, that this that I desire when I petition and ask God for is not happening because of me, but rather it is happening because of God. Jesus threw the spotlight to God when the miracle had been wrought and they noted it. When Jesus spoke it, notice Jesus never had any doubt about it. He didn't even go back and look at the fig tree. The disciples called his attention to it because they were amazed, not him. And when you believe what you say, other folk will be amazed, not you, because you already knew it was going to happen when you said it. So they call his attention to it and say, you know that tree you cursed yesterday? It's dead today. He's like, and? Now look at him throwing the spotlight on God. Have faith in God. He didn't say have faith in me, because what he was helping them to understand was his source was God. His strength was God. And he was helping them to focus. He was making it clear that in order to do the things that God says to do, you've got to have faith in God, your source, your supply, your strength. Now look again, because I want you to see the word and I want you to understand what you must first determine. Notice again, Jesus says, verse 22, and Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in. Now, in order to have it in God, again, in represents always as relates to creator and creation relationship. So in order for you to have faith in God, you have to be in relationship with God. You can't have faith in something or someone you know nothing about or have no connection with. So Jesus is saying, in order to activate your faith, it must be, again, birthed out of a relationship with God. You can't have faith in him, again, of whom you know nothing about, of whom you have no fellowship with, of whom you have no relationship, of whom you have no contact. So all of this is predicated upon a relationship with God. Then out of that relationship, my faith is developed because after hearing the word, studying the word, living the word, I begin to see God in a whole new sense, in a whole new light. I begin to understand him from his mindset and from his outlook and from his vantage point. And then I no longer look at myself as myself would see myself, but I see myself as God sees myself. And so when I see myself the way God sees myself, I recognize then that I am who he says I am. I can do what he says as I can do. I am the authority in the earth realm that represents him and am able to bind and to loose. I'm able to speak those things that be not as though they were. I have, again, in the earth realm, the representative power of God, the authority of God. I see myself not as the world see me or as I would see myself outside of relationship with God, but now as a new creation in a new position. position, I also have new authority. But all of that comes with my relationship with God. When I have faith in God, I know then that it is God who's going to do a thing according to his word. My faith simply aligns itself to what he said. Now listen at this. I can't activate my faith, nor can I increase my faith until my faith has been solidly rooted in the word of God. Look at verse 23. For verily or truly I say unto you that whosoever... Now, Jesus is making clear that you decide and you determine whether or not you're going to be in relationship with God. When you make that determination and you decide that you're going to accept God and those things that God desires for you, then it puts you in a new position, and you then have the authority based upon your accepting God, not God accepting you. Because God has already said that he would that no man perish. So you put yourself in a position to have what God wants you to have, to be in authority, and to be that God has claimed you to be in the earth realm. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, there are so many words today I'd like to go through and deal with. Time won't allow me to, but I want to share first a few things. First of all, the whosoever is important because it takes away your excuse for just pointing at the pulpit or the deacons or the deaconess. Or the missionaries or the evangelists or the folk who you claim are closer to God. First of all, the whosoever talks about faith folk. Because you got some preachers who ain't got faith. Some deacons who ain't got faith. Some deaconesses and some evangelists, some missionaries, some ushers, some of these folk you think are closer to God ain't as close as you think they are. Now, why do you say that? Because James said, if you won't talk about faith, let me see some works. And I can tell you who's really walking in faith by their works. So you ain't got to judge nobody. Just look at the works. And you can tell whether someone has faith or not. So here's what you got to understand, that the folk that he's talking about are faith folk, not folk who are in positions. So you may very well have somebody out there in the pews who may be in a position to reach God in a faith level and in a faith way that some people in positions may not reach him. Everybody that they used to exemplify faith, many of them were not in position with Jesus Christ, though they had faith in him. I mean, you go back to the Old Testament and so forth and so on. You see people who got miracles and so forth. They were not a part of the inner circle. They were not a part who were serving in religious positions or not. They were people who heard God's word, believed God's word, took God at his word, stood on that word, and got what God said. Faith. So this is important for you to understand, that you cannot underestimate the power of faith and what you believe God for yourself for. So whosoever qualifies all people of faith.
Yeah.
If you're a faith folk, say, I'm a faith person. All right, if you're a faith person, then there ought to be some works from the faith person. Now, Jesus is now trying to show you how you can take that faith and cause it to become works for you. Look again at what he says. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain. I point out again that Jesus uses a literal mountain to bring about this issue and area of faith. Because what you've got to understand is faith is looking beyond what you see and saying or speaking what is even more real than that you visually see. Your faith is the ability to take God at his word, regardless of what you see. That's really faith. Faith is the substance, the word says, of things hoped for. But notice the first word in Hebrews 11:1 says, now. See, because if it's later, it ain't faith. Hope is always connected with later, but faith is always connected with now. The only reason why you can hope later is because you got faith now. If I have faith now, the hope is going to pull that I have faith to believe into the now. But I have now faith that sends out that hope, that grasps what I'm calling for to come in later. Even if later is the next minute or the next moment, I'm going to have what I hope for because my faith has locked hold to it and it's on its way back. It's just a matter of time before it gets here. In Jesus' case, he spoke it this day, and the next day it manifested itself. Even though it died the moment he spoke it, the manifestation of it did not come till the next day in their sight. Listen again, because again, I want you to see something. That means, first of all, that when he says this mountain, he literally focuses on something. And mountains, again, are synonymous with many things in scriptures. But in this case, mountains are synonymous with difficulties and stressful situations. It is representative of something that's almost unachievable, almost impossible. These are circumstances that are far difficult than folk realize. So in this connotation here, mountains are problems. Problems. Now, notice here what Jesus says. That you, if you say to this, this. Notice it didn't say these, it says this. Which suggests that though there may be multitudes of mountains in your life, there is an apparent and a very up close and up front and very near you mountain that prevents you from getting further down the path that God has for you. So sometime you got to deal with the mountain that's right in front of you before you can deal with all the other mountains that are going to come up in your life. Now here's what you've got to understand. You've got to decide or determine what's a mountain in your life. You have got to decide that and determine that, because your path may be different from mine. Your course may be different from mine. What I might see as a mountain might not be a mountain for you. What you might see as a mountain may not be a mountain for me. But what is a mountain? Anything that prevents you, that slows you, that deters you, or even detours you from doing what God's called you to do or having what God's called you to have, that is a mountain. Now, mountains come in many forms.
That's right.
Mountains can come in the person of family members, loved ones, people, enemies. Mountains can come in the form of money. It can come in the form of jobs or school or whatever the situation or circumstance is. That can be a mountain to you. But notice here again, you've got to determine one or decide what is a mountain to you. Because if it's going to prevent me, slow me down, take me out of my course, detour me or detain me, I need to know that that then becomes a mountain in my life. Now, I can waste time, depending on how big the mountain is, and decide that I'm going to go around the mountain. Well, now, is that not a detour if I'm going straight and the mountain happens to be in my way? But you know what a whole lot of us think? That mountains are a part of our journey.
That's right.
For us to detour off our path. No, that's what mountains are for. Every mountain the Lord allows to enter into your path on your journey is to not only test your faith, but to increase your faith. Because as you start on this journey, God's going to give you enough word. He's going to give you enough faith to be able to speak to the mountain. One other illustration says, and Jesus makes very clear, so it's not talking about seasoned saints who have been on the journey a long time. He said, if you had faith as a mustard seed. Now, if you're mature, your faith ought to be much stronger and larger than a mustard seed faith. So it's obviously talking about folk who are newborn babes, talking about those who are young in the faith, talking about those who are beginning the journey, those who are now activating and utilizing their faith. So it's not talking about folk who are strongly matured in the faith. So you start thinking, well, I just started in the journey and so forth. You got enough faith when you were called into this thing, because God gave every man a measure of faith. You've got what it takes to speak to your mountain. First, you got the desire to know that God has the power to move every mountain in your life. Now, here's what you got to know. Be careful what you call a mountain, because God can move it. I said, you better be careful what you call a mountain, because God can move it. I think I told a story, and this is a true story. There was a pastor in one of the churches that I came in up, and he wasn't my pastor. He pastored that church before my actual pastor did. But his prayer was every Sunday, Lord, move my mountains and move my stumbling blocks. And, you know, that was a little unrest between the pastor and some of the folk there. And he was under the impression that the people were the mountain. So he kept telling God. He started on this thing, and he didn't stop until one day God moved the mountain, and the mountain was him. So be careful when you ask him to move the mountain, who the mountain really is. Because sometimes you are your own worst enemy. You are your own shortcoming. You are your own mountain because of your unbelief, because of your own unwillingness to obey what God said do. So you've got to determine and decide what is your mountain. Second thing after you do that is you have got to doubtlessly declare what you want that mountain to do, and that is to be removed. Doubtlessly declare. Say, doubtlessly declare. Now, if you're going to determine and decide what the mountain is, then you ought to be able to doubtlessly declare what it is you want that mountain to do. Amen. Notice what Jesus said. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say, that's declare, unto this mountain, be thou removed, that's what you wanted to do, and be thou cast into the sea, that's the place you wanted to be, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, again, talking about doubtlessly declaring, you have got to be able to say what it is you want. Notice how specific Jesus is in the text. He says, be thou removed from this place. And then he tells the mountain where he wants it to go. See, a lot of folk don't understand. When you're praying to God, when you are speaking or declaring a thing, you've got to speak it through. Because just to move the mountain out of my way can position it in my path further up the journey if I don't get rid of it altogether. Are y'all hearing me? Ever got rid of a problem and it came back later? That's because you didn't really get rid of it. You just moved it out of the way. And a whole lot of us are moving mountains, but we are not getting them out of our way. They still become a problem later, and it's actually a double problem, because now you got to speak to that same mountain again that you spoke to already and didn't get no result that you thought you were going to get. So you've got to know what your mountains are and where they are and where you want them to be. Look at what Jesus says again. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and conjunction, connecting this together, you don't just get out of my way, but let me tell you where I want you to go. And be thou cast into the sea. Now, what happens to mountains and seas? They dissolve. The water and the motion continuously disintegrates that mountain. It does not come back ever again as a mountain. It might be some debris. Or it might come back as some rocks on the seashore, but it ain't coming back as no mountain again. In other words, you need to put your mountains in a place where they will never come back and bother you again. Now listen at this, because there's something else I want you to see that Jesus says. Victims talk about their mountains. Victims talk about their mountains. Talking about what ain't right, what ain't going on, what I ain't got, what I don't have. Oh, this is happening to me. I don't know why. Oh, victims talk about mountains. You can hear the conversation, even with believers who see themselves as victims and who are praising and giving glory in essence in a roundabout way to the mountains. See, you're saying that the mountain has mastered you as a victim. Because you talk about your problems and you talk about what you have authority over. When you are the victim, you put yourself in a position of helplessness, and it is connected ultimately with hopelessness. So as a victim, you talk about that you can't do nothing about. And you just talk about how it has devastated you, how it has defeated you, how it has disappointed you, how it has discouraged you. You talk like you can't do nothing about. That's a victim's talk. Victims talk about them. Listen at the saints' conversation again and see whether or not they are talking like victims or victors. Again, victims talk about their mountains. Victors talk to their mountains. Listen, victims talk about their mountains because they can't do nothing with the mountains, so they just tell folk about their sorrow. Nobody knows the trouble. You know how we get that old groan, like we just deep in depression here about this mountain. We talking about the mountain. Victor say, you know what? I ain't gonna let nobody know you done caused me this problem, man. I ain't gonna waste no time talking about you. Matter of fact, come here, mountain. Let me talk to you. Because my problem ain't with them. My problem is with you. I'm trying to get to that point behind you, and you are in my way. So let me have a little conversation with you. This is what I want you to do. Get out of my way and be cast into the sea, because I have no path that leads me through the sea. So since I ain't going that way, I want you completely out of. I wish I had somebody. I want you in a direction I have no intention of going ever. So understand how victors talk. Do victors have problems? Yes, they have problems. Do they have trials? Yes, they have trials. Do they have troubles and struggles? Yes, they have trials and struggles. But what they do also have is the authority to declare who they are and whose they are to that mountain. Listen, that's the problem with a whole lot of us. We are scared to talk to our mountains. But we'll talk about them all day long. Don't you know you can get more accomplished talking to your mountain than you can about your mountain? And then when we talk about our mountains, instead of us mastering our mountains, it's always connected with our mountains mastering us. You ought to have too much faith to let anybody know a mountain has mastered you. Because I want you to see something else, because I want you to see it, and it's all in the text. You've got to doubtless declare. The Bible says, again, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Now, listen at this, because here's what's important. After you declare it, after, now this is, look, because what can happen is, how many times have you had faith in the starting of a problem or a situation, but before it was finally finished, your faith had dwindled and you couldn't carry through? I mean, we started off good and the mountain started shaking. Mountain was getting ready to move. But then your faith in your heart started doubting that it was going to move all the way. You saw a few boulders fall down and roll down the mountain, and you say, well, wait a minute, where the rest of the mountain moving? Well, I guess my faith isn't strong enough to move that mountain. But don't you know that even if the mountain's going to get up, it's got to shake off the loose stuff off itself first before it can actually uproot out of. Y'all not hearing me. See, there's some things that's going to fall off your problem that's going to come first, the little stuff, the stuff that you're not looking at as the major source. But all of that's got to get out of the way, because the mountain is shaking itself to move out of the way. And just because you don't see it immediately move, but you see the effects of a shaking going on, keep your faith right there, because your faith focused on that mountain is making the mountain get hurried to move out of that place, is it? Now, here's what the problem is, and let me just give you a visual illustration. If I speak to my mountain, if I declare it, and I know without a shadow of a doubt that I have the authority over this mountain, listen at this. If I'm speaking to the mountain, then it's obvious the mountain can hear me. See, y'all are too spiritual to get this, you know. Listen, when you're talking about spiritual things, and Jesus is, he said, have faith in God. God is not physical, God is spiritual. So if you're talking about spiritual things, you cannot lock yourself in the logic of natural things. I'm speaking to my mountain, but my mountain can't hear me. No, maybe your natural mountain can't hear you, but the spiritual mountain that is in front of you, that's connected with your physical mountain, can.